It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality?
Yo, police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
Yo, police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
How it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away. Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside going through a living hell. And you say we shouldn't worry about Bin Laden. Have you forgotten?
Oh, there's a name we haven't heard in a while. Osama bin Laden.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That wow. was a good day when that gentleman went down in history, right?
It's, you know, I wore the shirt today. You can see it on my Facebook. You know, it's got the Constitution and that, and it's patriotic. It just hit me just now playing the Daryl Worley because I love that song and I connect it with 9/11 quite a bit. You can see I get a little choked up over it, but... It just hit me. It's the 9/11 show.
You know, it's because our nation is suffering so much and so many things with what happened yesterday. Right. And then we have on top of it. So
maybe that's hitting me, too.
It's a beyond emotional day. And I hope we get a chance to talk about that on top of what else we're talking about. But
absolutely.
The pain in so many people's hearts are just, including my own. It's, you know, I have family, loved ones that are just strong advocates out there. So,
well,
yeah.
And that's Kimberly Zanin, by the way, folks. She's the coordinator for Project 928. Amongst other things, you work with the court system as well. What did you call the drug?
It's our quality of life program at the court system.
Right.
Yeah. So I work with young people, the first-time offenders, to try to keep them from going back to their use. Do mentor, peer support, and coordinating. I'm not the coordinator of Impact 928. I'm just one of the board members.
Ah, yes. Board member.
Yes.
See, I said coordinator before
okay.
the show. All right. Well, we're good.
Yeah. As long as we fix it before.
You're a very
it's over.
Forgiving person,
I
so
am.
You're forgiving for that, right? Anyway, we're broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. It is Thursday, September 11th, 2025, and I would be remiss if I did not mention that is my little sister Trisha's birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday,
Trisha LaVoy. Yeah, it was her birthday before it was 9/11.
You know, that's got to be tough sometimes if you think about it. Your birthday lands on a day that's remembered this way.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mine was almost because I'm April 3rd, and Martin Luther King was assassinated on April 4th.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But some evil person out there just turned this into a two-day tragedy. Where you have Charlie Kirk's assassination and now 9/11. But you had a personal story to talk about when it comes to 9/11, and your son is involved here.
Yes. So my family, even from my stepfather, he was a New York police officer in the 50s, moved to California, you know, in 58. So he was a veteran police officer. We grew up just knowing our country and our communities, number one. We've always had that strength within us. And so when 9/11 hit, my son was only 11 years old. And
Really?
It was such an impact on us as a family because of who we are and how strong we believe in our country and that pain. I mean, it's very similar to what's going on today, the same similar pain in your heart of how evil our world has come. And there's so much evil within this country and within the nations. And it's just heartbreaking to see this pain happen again. And I don't know if it's a good thing that it happened with them, because it really makes us come together again to say we need to go back to as we came together in 9/11 of all Americans standing together. And so anyways,
wow, losing a shining star like that, it's just to advance that. I don't know that it has brought us together, but I do know one thing. And I have a prediction that during the midterms, the Turning Point USA will have a huge impact on the 100%. Arizona governor's race. Yes. I really believe that.
Well, what I'm getting, you know, his impact will, in my beliefs, is the pain and the sadness of his family and what they're going through is horrific. But this is going to be a movement that we are going to see that was very similar to Martha King. You know, when Martin Luther King happened, I feel it. Because as I go talk with people, the pain that they're feeling, but at the same time of saying, enough is enough. We need to get us in shape and get back out there and fight in a way that's not harmful to other people. Because so many people get out there and say, we're going to go. No, we need to, you know, be strong in fighting. But we also need to make sure that God's leading us in that fight so that when we do fight, we have the right leader. And so I'm devastated by what happened. But we can go back to 9/11. So my son at 11 made the decision to, you know, when he's old enough, he's going to join the Army and fight for his country. And the first time he went in, he was only 17. He wanted to sign up then. I was divorced. I was a single mother. Even though my son was with me all the time, my ex-husband had some rights. So we had to sign a waiver for him to be able to join the Army by the time he turned 18. My ex chose not to. So that held my son back. But a lot of great things happened between that date. And then when he finally did commit to himself in 2013 to join the Army, he spent his 4 years in the Army in upstate New York at Fort Drum. When he got out, that first year was really tough on him. He came out of the Army and joined the National Guard right away.
Oh.
But through those challenges that he went through that first year, he fought to become a pilot for the National Guard. So he flies Blackhawks for our National Guard in California, strong patriot. But not just my son, my daughter, who since she was a little girl, believed in our country and our community, made decisions since she was young to want to be a police officer, work in protecting our community. She came to Mojave County, worked with probation, juvenile probation, and then now is dispatched for Lake Havasu PD. But my nephew, who is also...
What is her name?
Caitlin.
Caitlin, okay.
Yes, Caitlin Zanin. And what a strong warrior. I'm a proud mom. She's such a strong warrior.
I can tell.
She, you know what? I believe that if you want your children to act and behave a certain way, you model it. You don't force it. You don't tell them how to be. And, you know, I was a type of mother. Open the door for people. Say bless you, thank you, all those things, because it wasn't so much I wanted my kids. It's like model the behavior you want your children.
Yes, sir, no, sir. Aunt, uncle, you don't call them by their first name.
Right.
You call them, I still call my Aunt Patty, Aunt Patty.
Right?
I don't call her Patty.
Yeah.
Or Uncle Roger or whatever, you know?
And we lost sight of that.
Yes, so, I think we have to.
And we have to not only be a person in the community one way and then go home and behave a different way, because your children are watching. Your children see the behavior you're pretending to be out in the community, but then you go home. So you have to be that person 24/7. You can't deviate and say, I'm only going to be this in front of people, but this behind. But my daughter, and a lot of people know that my daughter's a lesbian, and so she works there. Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. No, what I wanted to say is even now she's on social media standing up and protecting what Charlie stood for. Protecting for what this country stands for. I was literally in tears this morning because she literally sent me the message that she had to stand up for to protect.
Marissa, if you're listening, can you bring some Kleenex in here, please? Thank you. I find it very interesting that Charlie motivated young people.
Yes.
And I heard this young people are going back to church, and it's not, you know, not necessarily the Catholic Church. It could be any church.
Any church.
And I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
And he had that kind of influence on young people.
You know, a couple weeks ago I was at our church, and I was shocked. We had such an amazing amount of young young adults. They were in their high school years. There must have been 50 to 60 of them in our church. And the groups that were getting baptized, these young people in Lake Havasu that are being baptized in this time and era, that is such a powerful thing to watch these young people. And yes, that's from seeing and wanting to believe in something bigger than ourselves.
As far as baptisms go here, is it in the lake itself?
So, well, actually, we just had one on Sunday in the lake. So we do have some that they'll do on the lake. But this was inside the church that they're baptizing in, because we do baptism every Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, when people come to ask to be baptized. But my biggest thing is seeing these young people. But yeah, so I raised, and then I have a nephew who I raised part-time because he was my brother's son, and my brother struggled. And I had him every summer, and he's a police officer here in Lake Havasu. So I had three children that I had in my life that I impacted. And it's not, like I said, wasn't because of me telling them this is how you have to behave. This is from seeing who I believed in, seeing how I responded, seeing who I was as a person. And I love them for that. And I love that they will stand, even like I said, my daughter standing in a community of people that she's going to be attacked. But she's doing it. Why? Because she believes in it.
Right.
And she doesn't believe in it because I forced her. She believes in it because she truly understands where we're at.
Right.
Yeah.
And
she loves her community.
Well, thank you for being the person who you are, the mom who you are, and for raising such great children. Thank you for their service.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Do enough people say that nowadays? They'll say it to the person who served, but
yeah.
I like to say it to the parents as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, as parents, it's kind of a weird thing. I put something out not too long ago on social media about how it's different for us parents because they're ours forever. And so when wars or things pop up, yeah, every single time I go into a different place of my heart because my son could be pulled into anything at any time. But I'm, you know, I'm also a parent that says, you know, all my children at one time, all three of them, were in situations that could have been shot or killed because they were out protecting our community and our country. And that fear is there, but at the same time, that's what they wanted. That's who they are. And so as a parent, I could never have held them back. But that fear is always in us. And as a parent, thank you for saying it, because it is scary for us. And sometimes we don't come out and talk about it. We hold it all in.
Well, I know other parents are listening. If you want to call and chime in, it's 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. And I want to talk about Project 928, because you just got some good news from county supervisors.
Yes.
This is the project up in Havasu Heights.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the supervisor's decision first.
Okay.
Are you happy with what happened?
100%. Obviously, that was a tough battle the board had to go through, getting through, you know, planning and zoning. Didn't go quite the way we wanted through planning and zoning, so we went into the Board of Supervisors with a thought that, okay, we might not get this passed.
Right.
And, you know, the hard part was, I think, a lot of the negative talk about it, it was misunderstanding from the community. So going into there and having that opportunity to really voice what we had to say and talk to our Board of Supervisors.
Rewind a little bit. Tell people what Project 928 is.
So Project 928 is, first of all, it started off as an organization just helping families that are in our community that are foster parents or wanting to become foster parents. It's not an easy process to go from who you are to now wanting your foster children into your home. So we were able to go in there, help get the house ready if you're going to want to be a foster parent, do those things. Or if you were a foster parent, helping them with, you know, items that they might need or different things. Like, for instance, one house had a pool, so we paid to have fencing to go around the pool so that they would qualify to be a foster parent. But within that, and, you know, I've been in the foster care fight for a very long time.
You were with CASA, right?
I was with CASA.
Or you were a CASA.
I was a CASA volunteer first, and I ran the program for a few years. And then I went into running for state senate to try to get people aware of what's going on in our community. Mm-hmm. But and it's still going on. But needless to say, we just don't have people that are willing to become foster parents. So, because we have this weird dynamic, right? We have these retired older people that are here to retire to just enjoy their life, and then we have a very low income group of people.
Well, now in my case, I had a chance to foster my own grandchild.
Yes.
But I'm not in a situation, and there's a housing shortage.
Yes.
And I couldn't get into a bigger place.
Right.
And it was just, you know, it made more sense for him to go where he went, which
right.
was with his natural family. That adopted him.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got a little more personal than I wanted to get.
That's okay.
But a lot of people they have limitations right. is why they can't foster.
100%. That's what I'm saying. So you have these two different groups of people. And so trying to get people to jump in and become foster parents was really tough. So needless to say, and I've been fighting to get some kind of home, some kind of place for our children here in town because mm-hmm. so many of them were being shipped to other counties. So just with that, with all the crazy that we went on, I have written up two bills that I'm praying that gets on the session floor this year. One will be, well, both of them are for pertaining to foster care. So okay. I'm working on getting that sponsored. I already had it ran through the lawyers out there. So we're just hopefully getting some changes. So it's not such a process, but people need to understand these are not bad children. They were in a bad situation and they were pulled. And we're just trying to protect them. And we're trying to keep them in their community. We're trying to keep them so they're not shipped to other areas because that's so hard on them.
I've always heard that birthdays were really tough on foster kids.
100%.
They've never had a birthday party.
Yeah. Well, you know, birthdays are just also sometimes even just in their, especially as they're older and they may understand more, mm-hmm. is the fact that maybe their parents didn't want them, which is usually never the case.
Right.
I mean, even people that think, oh, their parents, no. Sometimes, unfortunately, addiction and stuff is so powerful that it controls what their parents. But I always told my kids, I know your mom's not here or your dad's not here, but they truly, in every part of them, do love
you. Right, right,
yeah.
right. So tell people the decision you made. You came to, I heard, last Friday. It spread like wildfire.
Oh, gosh. I didn't realize everybody paid attention to me.
Kimberly Zanon, she pulled papers.
Yeah.
And I was, what?
Yeah.
So I have a question to dovetail off of that. So tell us about your decision. What led you to pull papers for the LD30 rep seat?
So this is what's going on. I'm very passionate about some changes. And then also this last year of working in the courts and seeing the drug use that's going on in our community, especially here in Lake Havasu because I'm here. But also, you know, changing some laws that I would love for foster care and different things. And so last Tuesday, I was just talking to, you know, I've talked to some of the people, and nothing against these candidates. You know, also I heard rumors, oh my gosh, she's coming after, so I'm not going after anyone.
I know you better than that. She's right,
you know,
folks.
But, you know, it's funny, but that, you know, rumors and hate travels way faster than love and gracious things, right? So I'm not going after anyone. It's just after talking to, and I talked to a third candidate, and I'm like, you know, my love and passion for wanting change in our community and in our laws has to come from me.
Right.
Because if I can't rely on their, and it's nothing against them.
Uh-huh.
Their love and passion is not mine. And God created us each to have a purpose and a plan, right?
Right.
And this is what he put on me to fight for. And
okay.
so, you know, I'm not going out public yet. I haven't gone out public yet because I really am trying to figure this whole thing out. But I was pulling papers just to kind of test the water, see where I'm at. But my goal is 100%, if I run and I'm going out public, what I want to do is just be on, you know, be honest, which I always, if you want to ask me something, ask me. I'm probably the most honest person out there.
So you have the paperwork, but you're not circulating the petitions just yet.
I am not circulating me going out there talking.
I see.
The petitions are out there.
People are.
Yeah. Well, the petitions automatically when you do it, it's out there. So
my thought when I heard the news, and I'm going to wrap this up with about 2, maybe 3 minutes left.
Okay.
And I talked to you about this right before the show.
Yeah.
Some people do a lot. You have so many projects in Mojave County and so many things that are – you're doing so much good here for the amount of time you've been here especially. Why do you think – do you think that would get lost in Maricopa County? I find that happens a lot.
100% not, because first of all, I'm not the driving force of Impact 928. We have an amazing, strong board. I'm a voice in Impact.
But you work for the court as well.
I work for the courts, but that also won't, because of going in there, things can change through laws and different things by fighting for those things. So It's a process of realizing that I could still be an advocate in different ways. But if we want things changed, we have to go to the top. And these are things that can only be changed at state level. These aren't things that changed in county. Mm-hmm. So again, I would love if I had someone that was running, I was really, you know, talking to each candidate about it. Not each one, because, you know, some people don't, anyways, but I would love to talk to him. I mean, if someone had the passion and drive, I would be saying, yes, let's work together.
Right.
But unfortunately, working together on this topic that's so passionate of mine, it's hard to find.
But I know with Leo, I know where he is in the People's Republic of Maricopa. All right. I know he's going to survive it. I know he's going to come back to us and report that. I don't want to lose you to that.
You're never going to lose me.
All right.
One is because I'm a person that believes in our community and will fight for our community, uh-huh. especially rural county. I came in here early 21, and I've never stopped fighting for our community. I've never been not a voice in our community.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm also a believer, if my morals or who I am ever gets pulled away, I will walk away, because those come first in my life, my God, my family, and my morals,
right.
and who I am. And I have to stay strong with that no matter what decision I make. So, no, I don't ever plan on living in Phoenix. I will go when I need to and
right.
come back when I to be here, because I love my community.
Well, I think you have to, unless you want to live in your car.
Well, you're there for
votes.
A period. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you're there for a period of time.
Right,
but
right,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And not celebrating, but remembering 9/11.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
We've got Coach Carl Thompson's going to be calling in. I'm hoping that's him on the phone right now.
Okay.
Coach Carl Thompson's going to be calling in because tomorrow night's game was moved to tonight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we got things that we have to do at all times, moving and shaking, right?
So I know why, but I'm going to have him tell us.
Oh, you don't want me to spill the beans?
Nah.
Okay.
Let's let the coach, Coach do his thing, right?
All right.
And then towards the middle of the second half hour, David Rose is going to come in. Pastor David Rose is going to talk about Turning Point USA and his relationship with Charlie Kirk.
Nice.
So I thought that was really important to get him on
today.
Yeah. If I can hold it together.
Yeah, so. I know. It's been a day.
Right.
It's
been almost 24 hours. I found out. I was sitting here wrapping things up and the channel's up for Fox News, right?
Yeah.
Charlie Kirk has been shot. And I went, what?
Yeah.
I screamed it. Right, and nobody was here to hear my scream except Marissa.
I was sitting in a community event that we do at the Muni Court at 12, and my first text came to me, and it was disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, right?
Like, surreal.
Yes.
Right,
100%.
Right. Well, thanks for being here, Kim.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for your kids' service,
whether
they're police, fire, police and Army.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, dear.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Coach Carl Thompson coming up next.
His right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
All right, the late Toby Keith on this 9/11, and like I said, it just hit me like right when I played the Daryl Worley at the top of the show. It's the 9/11 show, anyway, because we always plan for it, but. It just didn't. With the whole Charlie Kirk deal that's going on, man, the assassination, it just didn't hit me like it normally does. But Speak Out brought to you in part on this 9/11 by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Just Meats, all the cuts all the time. By Salmon's Air Conditioning, also Springberg Wealth Management, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and our newest sponsor, A&B Propane. Real people, real service, no hidden fees, no runaround. abpropaneaz.com. And, you know, there's always those events, like on 9/11, we had baseball in the World Series that came along a little bit later in the playoffs and that. And that was sports is always a good distraction. And I think tonight the community could come together with the Lake Havasu High School Fighting Knights. And you play the Lee Williams Volunteers tonight, Coach. And Coach Carl Thompson, my guest, and I wanted to talk to you about tonight's game. Why is it being played tonight? Why not tomorrow?
You know, across Arizona, they have an official shortage. And, you know, our game, just like so many others, across the state in multiple weeks have been moved to Thursday nights.
Uh-huh.
You know, with the addition of adding flag football, which is fabulous, and just so many different games going on. There's freshman, JV, varsity games, and there's so much going on that they have a little bit of a shortage. So there's about 15 or 18 different games across the state that have been moved up to a Thursday night game.
Coach, if you were going to talk to somebody that's kind of sitting on the fence there, should I volunteer to be a coach? And that, it's not a volunteer position, is it? They actually get paid.
No, there's a lot of different things that go along with it. Yeah, I am lucky enough that I do get paid in my position. I mean, I can tell you it works out to be about 13 to 15 cents an hour. I mean, there is a lot of time with the off seasons and different things. But, you know, we are very well supported by our school district and community, you know, with athletics in lots of different forms, whether it's our facilities, making sure that we have great payments for our people that do that. But I am lucky enough, I do have several volunteer coaches in my program. Even I have, I think it's four alumni coaches in the program as well.
Well, I'm talking about referees. They actually do get a paycheck. I used to referee soccer for Lake Havasu High and got a nice, if I did a boys varsity and a girls varsity game, it was almost $100 just for that 4 hours.
You know, it's a lot more than that because you get travel mileage, different things like that. But again, having the officials is the most important part of the game. I mean, they're the ones that are out there enforcing the rules, doing everything, and keeping everybody safe and in check. And, you know, without them, kind of like coaching sometimes, you know, everybody wants to yell at you and tell you what you're doing, what you should be doing, and they're making their best judgments they can. So
tonight is backup quarterback night, correct?
It is. You know, Halo Jump will be with us getting the start this week. You know, he did a good job coming in that second half of last week.
He did.
We've gotten a couple other personnels back from the sick and injury list, so we're excited to get a couple of our players back that we didn't have over the last couple weeks. So various reasons. I mean, football is a tough sport, so week in and week out that roster can be adjusted and changed. But again, we're going to keep moving forward. I mean, I thought we had a lot of great opportunities last week. We just came up a little short. I mean, very easily 5 or 6 plays could have went either way. Would have changed the game tremendously for either team.
Yeah, you guys had Yoni backed up in his own end. I you know, and got a safety on Mojave. That game was not a 6-point margin game. It was a lot closer than the score.
It was, you know, and again, it was a good rivalry game. I know we did come up on the short end of it, but again, it's kind of showcased what we've tried to do over the last couple of years, that Mojave County football is very, very competitive. We have a lot of good athletes and a lot of good programs across the county. And, you know, the Golden Shovel is always one of those highlighted games. And then we jump right back in with Lee Williams tonight. So it'll be another big county rivalry game. And, you know, expect a lot of action tonight.
Right. Tonight's game will be on 980 AM and KNTRSports.com. And we'll have it posted for replay on the website, KNTRSports.com, sometime tomorrow, more than likely. And we've got last week's Golden Shovel game is posted. I don't know if you know that, Coach, but you can tell people that they can listen to the Golden Shovel game up on KNTRSports.com. It's got a little tab. It says Fighting Knights Football. And just go
all
to
right,
that tab.
That's awesome.
Yeah, click on that, and yeah, you can listen to the game. So what are you expecting from Lee Williams?
You know, it'll be another good competitive game. We're expecting a multiple spread front. They are probably about 70-30 run to pass. We're expecting some type of 4-2 match man coverage. Very similar to what we saw last week against Mojave.
Okay.
But, you know, they're going to run the ball a little bit more. So they do a good job in their passing game off their play action stuff. So, again, we have to be defensively sound. Again, our goal is to win the turnover margin, time of possession, and we just we need to capitalize on a few opportunities when we get them.
Yeah, you had a player go down on defense last week, and he plays both sides of the ball. I think it was either 12 or 14. Does that kind of worry you when that happens? You got key players that are out there on both sides of the ball that can, you know, twice as likely to get hurt?
You know, it does. Like I said earlier, football is a tough game, and we don't want anyone to get hurt or injured or anything like that. But, I mean, as we prepare each week, you know, we do have our ones and twos, and we try to make sure that if we do need that next guy in, that we've done our best during the week to prepare them. We've been lucky enough this week without a JV game.
Right.
We have a few more of those guys that are in our roles, filling some special teams roles. and different things so that we don't have to count on players basically playing Iron Man football where they're playing offense, defense, and every special team. So we do have a little bit of that, but it always is kind of that war of attrition. We do have guys that's next man up mentality. Uh-huh. We do have guys that can step in that are universal. So we are lucky enough we do prepare each week with a couple of those guys filling in those different roles.
Okay, last question. What is it about Lee Williams? They always seem to give you fits when they come here or you go there. It's always a close game, it seems like, with them.
Well, it goes back to what we just talked about, like with the Golden Shovel and now with Lee Williams. It's a big in-county rivalry game, and, you know, emotions are high for both teams. Everybody wants bragging rights in the county. I mean, that's true of any rivalry. You know, there's always a little back and forth. Different things like that, but just having that bragging rights throughout the year. And again, it's just, I think that we're in a good place for us of learning how to control our emotions. We were able to do that last week with not having any unnecessary penalties of the game, anything extra after the plays and everything. And it's again, that we're just going to show up again for us, and we're going to play tough-nosed football, and we'll see what happens at the end.
Well, as Coach would say on Facebook, night up, right? Tonight's the night.
That is correct.
All right, tonight's the night. Correct. And even though it's not Friday Night Lights, it's Thursday Night Lights tonight. We'll have the game live on KNTR Sports, 980 AM only, and you'll have Thursday Night Football over on the FM, and then KNTRSports.com will be streaming the game at KNTRSports.com. Coach, thanks for joining us, as always, on Speak Out. We really appreciate you making time.
All right, thank you for having me.
You bet. Again, good luck tonight. Go Knights.
Thank you.
All right, you bet. You'll hear that a lot during the game, David Rose. You hear the Go Knights, the commercials, right?
Yes. Awesome. Let's go.
Right. It's Go Knights. And he's going to kind of take off the school board president hat today. And you're going to put on the Turning Point USA hat, right?
Yeah.
I saw the picture that you posted on Facebook. Wow.
Yeah.
That was like, anyway, it's kind of getting to me. I'm going to take a break just so I can compose myself, and we'll come back with Pastor today. Can I use that?
Yeah.
Thank you. Pastor David Rose. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out.
In liberating strife, who more than self, their country.
Amen, Pastor David Rose.
Yes, sir.
Right? All right. This 9/11 show brought to you in part by The Chair, also Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, the Lewis Team Remax by The Lake, and by Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
I knew it when I booked you that this is going to be a tough one. But yesterday, like I was just telling the story, I was sitting here just kind of putting things back together,
yeah.
Or, you know, taking my OnlyFans and that, and, you know, Charlie Kirk has been shot. And I went, what?
Yeah.
And then I saw the footage.
Yeah.
And I just can't get that out of my mind.
Yeah, no.
And
I wish I would have never seen it.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I wish I'd never seen it, too. But you posted a picture to your family was new Charlie Kirk as well.
Yes. No, we love Charlie. I've had the great honor of serving with Charlie for almost the past 4 years. I am a Turning Point USA faith pastor, also serve on the board of directors for faith coalitions with Turning Point. And so I've got to be on the front row of watching Charlie in this great fight for faith, family, and freedom in America. His passion And you know what's sad? A lot of people don't know this. Just over a week ago, he was in Seoul, South Korea, preaching the gospel, walking around the streets free. And he comes back to a nation built on freedom and faith and is killed for his freedom of speech. I was actually at Thunderbolt Middle School yesterday whenever I got the – my phone just started blowing up. And, of course, I was hitting reject because I'm in a meeting.
It blew up here.
And then I get a text from one of our directors that says, call me now. Charlie's been shot. And I was like, oh, dear God. So got on the phone. And the rest of the day was just not a, you know, not a good day. And it's the spirit of America is broken. But we must fight on. And I can tell you, I know Charlie, I know his heart. He would not want anyone to respond with more political violence. And he would want you to get out and knock doors and fight for the freedom of this nation in the midterms.
You know, you and I talked about that. Not to cut you off or anything. But and we talked about this exact topic when you came in to talk to Steve and I was here. Steve was not. And I said, you know, The ghetto person, I want payback. I want some payback.
Absolutely.
And you said, tell me what you said.
I said, that's not what Charlie would want.
Right. And so we talked about it. I was on a text with Chad Hansen and Bobby Lewis. I don't know if I shared this with you. Hmm. Bobby kind of changed my mind a little bit. This is brilliant. And I asked Bobby if I could read this on the air. And he said, yeah. He said, terrible day, horrible in every way. Our perspective is limited, however. God's perfect universe is unfolding perfectly, even though it doesn't feel like it today from our limited view. I believe God doesn't make mistakes. He teaches us and loves us. Sometimes the lessons are very tough, like today, but Charlie is in a heavenly paradise tonight and will be reunited with his family someday in the future.
Yeah.
And Bobby goes on to say, this is a little long, but it really hit me. Eternity is a lot longer than a mere 75 or 85 years, although life seems pretty long when we are going through it. It is really just a blink compared to eternity.
Yeah.
Justice will come to his killer, and the ones that justify this heinous act are exposed for millions more to see.
Yeah.
This is a turning point. And I don't think he was trying to put a pun there, but this is a turning point. I admired Charlie so much, and this is incredibly painful for all who loved him, but he would want us to keep going and win hearts and minds the right way. His murder is atrocious and horrible, but it does exactly the opposite of what the murderer likely wanted to accomplish, which was to silence his voice. Now there will be more focus on what he stood for than he could have ever imagined. Terrible to see it happen this way, but God is perfect and Charlie believed in God.
Yeah.
Pray for his family. They are the ones that hurt the most right now. Excuse me. Retaliating and reacting never is a good plan. Pause and formulate the next best response. I'm trying to hold it together, folks. Sorry. Being the example of good is a great weapon. Hug those dear to you tonight as this life on earth is fleeting. And Bobby Lewis wrote that.
Yeah. You know, Charlie was a fighter for the very things he died for, freedom of speech, faith, family. I was just, Crystal and I, my wife, we were just with Charlie a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles for our pastor summit, and we were all together celebrating the fact he made it on South Park.
Oh, right. That's right.
He was showing us
was funny.
Clips of the show and just laughing, and I told him, I said, Charlie, you know that you have arrived at a moment of influence in this nation that most people will never get to. Because of the fight that you have done for America.
Keep going. You're okay. It's on this end.
And so through that, the president announced this morning Charlie Kirk will be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Wow.
And then they are actually the vice president is flying fly the casket on Air Force Two.
Sure.
From Utah to Phoenix. And so it's a heartbreaking day. You know, I was on the phone all day long with our Turning Point team and had the opportunity to pray with our faith team and some of the guys in action. And I said this to one of our directors. I said, tomorrow's September 11th.
Right.
And just as I pondered what had taken place, and one thing Charlie always wanted was unity and revival in America again. And that hadn't happened since 9/11. And the day before 9/11, one of the greatest tragedy in America since 9/11 has taken place. And it sent a shockwave yesterday through this nation, but it has awakened. If they think that they've silenced the freedom of speech, if they've silenced the Turning Point movement, if they silenced everything that Charlie Kirk has fought for and has stood for, all they've done is motivated people to stand taller and to allow his memory to live through every one of the patriots in this nation.
Turning Point USA is a big supporter of Andy Biggs.
Yes.
For governor.
Yeah.
Is this a game changer for the governor's race?
Oh,
in your opinion?
I think that it is going to send, not just in the primary, I think it opens up the opportunity for a landslide in the general, because people will come out of the woodwork in the midterms. They are sick of the violence. They are sick of the radical left. When I've got friends on the left who are moderate, who love America, who text me, and member Ramon, who's on the board and is a Democrat, and text me that, I'm so sorry this has happened. This
right.
is unacceptable.
Yeah, she doesn't strike me as somebody who would.
Please don't categorize. I ask you, please do not categorize every Democrat as radical and standing for this, because that's just not true. But it is those who are on the radical left who hate America, who hate the freedom of speech, hate Charlie Kirk, and condone this violence. And we've seen people throughout the nation who have celebrated this death, which is absolutely disgusting.
It is.
And it's just a heartbreaking moment, but it is a turning point. And, my friend yesterday heard these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done. And, so
is that how you hold it together, David?
It is.
I see people that, like Kim was here. She's just, I wouldn't say a basket case, but
yeah.
She lost it a couple times.
Yeah, it's been tough.
I have, but how do you do it?
I've had my moments. Yesterday, the staff at Thunderbolt was like, oh, dear God. They were texting me saying, you were white as a ghost when you got the call. But my faith is in God, and that God has a bigger plan. And knowing what that plan is important, and just trusting in this process. But believe me, we've had our moments of breaking down. We together last night as a family cried together. Our children, so blessed that our kids got to know Charlie and be on the front row of everything he has done in the last few years. And so it is a heartbreaking moment for all of us.
We had a text come in. That's Pastor David Rose, by the way, Restoration Hope Church. And I'm so glad you came in to talk about this, because yeah. You're like our link to Turning Point USA, this town's link.
Yeah.
We have a text from the KNTR text line, KNTR Talk text line. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you.
Amen.
If you were of the world would love you as its own. And he goes on to say, Charlie was not of this world and served the good fight. Charlie is home. Prayers for all who are left here to carry on what Charlie Kirk stood for. And that is the changing of the hearts and minds of men.
Yeah, amen.
That's a nice text.
It is. Amen. And I've had a lot of people ask me, what can we do? Well, let me tell you, this is the answer I want. Number one, pray for Erica and the babies.
Yes.
I cannot imagine being in her position right now to tell those precious children, Daddy's never coming home. Number two, pray for all of the Turning Point family. They were not just employees. They were Charlie's friends. They looked up to him as a mentor. But here's what Charlie would want. Number one, he would want you to pray. Pray for this nation. He would want you to pray for the enemy that they would be saved. Number two, he would want you to give your life to Jesus. That is, Charlie was passionate. He loved Jesus. He loved the gospel. He stood for religious freedom in America, stood boldly for biblical values. And mm-hmm. So he would want you to do that. And then he would want you to stand and fight in these midterms. He would want you to fight for the freedoms in Arizona. He would want you to fight to take the governor's house back. He would want you to drive people to the polls, to knock doors, to be involved. He would want you to register to people to vote. He would want you to continue on the legacy and the empire that he has built at Turning Point USA to take America back. And really, this is the radicals who hate everything about America. They hate everything about Jesus. They hate everything about freedom, and they want to shut the movement down. But this is a movement that cannot be shut down. Yesterday was a turning point to only strengthen it.
What happens to Turning Point USA after this?
So there will be meetings. The boards will all be gathering. I believe that the legacy will continue on. And, Charlie had plenty of key leaders in place that ran the organization. You know, Charlie was on the road a lot.
He founded the organization when he was 18.
He did.
That's,
yeah.
That's incredible.
And so there are key leaders in place that mm-hmm. are able to carry the torch. So there will be a lot of meetings. It's too early to speculate or comment what exactly, sure. how things will happen or who will take the reins. But I've had people ask, do you see Turning Point going away? I do not. I see it growing.
I see their influence getting really strong in the midterms.
Absolutely. I can tell you, we've had pastors. Our faith team was saying, calling me saying, we have had more pastors reach out now that want to get involved with TPUSA Faith than they ever had.
Just the assassination attempt on President Trump
was
a huge influence on the election, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
So, all right, we got to go. And thanks for listening, folks. It's our 9/11 show. I'll see you on Tuesday, and pray for Charlie Kirk's family.
Yeah.
All right, pray for this country as well. Back with more. We're going to take it right up to the top of the hour. Hannity's up next.
If that bothers you, well, that's too bad.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.